This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs, and Pastor Merritt Assembly of God. I do want to let you know we have service tonight at 7 p.m. We've got a young adult service. We've got kids service. We've got an adult service. We're going through the book of Revelation. We do have service tonight. We do have service next Wednesday, which would be the 19th. But the following week, the 24th, November the 24th through the 28th, is a week that we broadcast radio programs from years gone by. That just gives us a chance to focus on some other things that need to be done, projects that need manpower and things like that. So if in case you're wondering, you know, if we're having service on the 26th, we don't. We will run programming here on the radio station, and we will not be having a Wednesday night service that week. But tonight we are, and next week we are. Hopefully we will be able to see you at church at 7 p.m. We have a study guide format. It's a study guide I produce. A lot of research goes into it. And as we set up tables, we have pens available. We have questions and answers and things like that. We're looking at the book of Revelation because Jesus is the end of everything. He is the pinnacle. And so the book of Revelation is all about the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so we don't like to glorify the bad things that the enemy does. We like to celebrate the redemption and the good things that God does. Hopefully we will see you at 7 p.m. Today we're going to go to an incredible passage of Scripture. It is in Psalm 138. It's the Psalm of David. It's only eight verses long, but there are some really powerful statements in this passage, and it'll give us reasons to praise God. And then there's some little nuggets that are in this passage I just like to share with you because they're practical and how they can help you to reprioritize your day or your schedule, build your faith whenever you are facing a challenge. So I hope you will stick with us as we go through Psalm 138. It's like I said, it's a Psalm of David. Verse number one says, I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. Yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. And I want you to know, you and I are the works of his hands. So we're going through the Word of God, we're looking at praising Him, and it's a deep, deep well. It's a very, very abundant activity in the Word of God, and there are a lot of different motivations and benefits and actions, and so we can't afford not to be people who praise and worship the Lord. So in my years of pastoral ministry, and before the time I was pastoring, just when I was attending church, there are a lot of people who have the mindset, well, I'm just going to get there in time for the main event. I'm just going to get there in time for the Word. And they will tend to not get there for praise and worship. And I want you to know it's not an either worship or the Word or praise and the Word. It's supposed to be both. And a lot of times people say, well, I don't like to sing. Well, praise is more than singing. Singing is one of the vehicles that we can use to praise the Lord. It's not the only one. When we have our worship service, our worship service begins with a prayer. It begins with an exclamation of praise and thanksgiving. It evolves into singing praise and worship songs and hymns and scriptures and things like that. Sometimes it's spontaneous praise, but our worship goes on and it culminates in our giving to the Lord is an act of worship. So that's not a bad thing. There are some people who they have not experienced the grace from the Lord at this point in time to where they recognize that it is more blessed to give than to receive. I don't say that in a condemning manner. I say that to let them know there's still an upside there. So back when my wife and I were struggling when we were first married, we've been married for decades now. When we were, you know, trying to squeeze a penny into a nickel, try to squeeze a dollar to get it to the end of the month. And boy, we ate a lot of, we ate a lot of leg quarters. We ate a lot of, spaghetti. We ate a lot of things that weren't necessarily our favorite things to eat, but it was the only way that we could make the budget stretch. And so when, we were in that situation, I adopted this mindset. God, I'm still thankful that I can honor you with the tithe and with an offering, because I would much rather be part of ministering to people in a food line than being in the food line. I've been there. My wife and I have been people who were blessed because of food distribution ministries that churches had. We were at one point in our pastoring where we were on food stamps. It was not the place that we enjoyed being, but it was the place we found ourselves having to be. It wasn't a permanent stop, but it was a reality in our life. And we just kept on worshiping the Lord. And so for us, praise and worship not only involves what takes place with our mouth, it takes place with our finances, with our time, everything that we do, the actions that we do, the words that we speak are all meant to describe or declare the glorious worth that is due the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here in verse number 1 of Psalm 138, it says, I will praise you with my whole heart. And throughout the Word of God, there are declarations that God makes very frequently in the scripture. It says, these people worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In other words, even if they were going through the motions, there were many times when they were making the required sacrifices because it was what they knew to do, but their heart wasn't in it. So you can tell when a person is passionate and fully engaged in what they're doing. You can also tell when a person, their heart isn't in it and they're just going through the motions. I was talking with a person. They do a lot of observation. And I understand that. I had a store that I managed in the mall that down in Melbourne several decades ago. It's gone out of business now. But when I had all of my paperwork done, my stock was all done, my displays were clean, everything was as it should be. I just watched people. And it's a fascinating pastime. And this person would look at various people in this particular work environment, and he would say, that person's very good at their job. This person doesn't want to be here. They just are putting in their time. That's all they're doing. I'm telling you this story because we are told by David here in Psalm 138 that it is a matter of will for us to make the decision to praise the Lord with our whole heart. And in the New Testament, it says the measure that we use will be the measure that is used on our behalf. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I don't know about you, but I want everything that God has for me. I have a person that I know, and I've known him for a long, long time. And when I was young and they were older, I would be having a conversation with them, and I noticed that all of the time while they were talking with me, they were looking for the next person that they wanted to talk to. In other words, they were talking with me, but their heart wasn't there. They were already looking for the next conversation that they had. And so I was like, they don't really want to be having this conversation with me. Well, when it comes to God, I want to praise him with my whole heart because I need God moving in my life without hindrance and without limitation. When God shows up, I am thankful and believing for his entire entourage of blessings to come along with him. So verse 1 continues, and it says, before the gods, I will sing praises to you. Now, the thing that made Judaism different than all of the other religions of that time in the Old Testament was they were not a religion of idolatry. There was no graven image that could capture the essence of God. Even the Ark of the Covenant, even though it housed the presence of the Lord, even though it was designated holy and there were very stringent restrictions on how there was supposed to be interaction with the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant wasn't God. It was just symbolic of the manifest presence of God. So in Egypt, there were idols. And, just about every ancient society, there were idols. I remember hearing a speaker one time, and he was visiting a country, in modern times, so you know, from the 1980s on. And he said that in this country, there was this very large temple and a very large idol. And they could go into it as a tourist and looked and said, "It's what I thought. No ears, no mouth, no hand, no ears to hear, no mouth to speak, no hands to stretch forth on their behalf." And an idol is a man-created image that there is no natural power to, but there could be some demonic activity involved. And so throughout all of the rest of civilization, there was this parade of idols. Let me say this. The devil doesn't care which idol you worship as long as you're worshiping an idol and not the one true God. So the area of town that I grew up in another state, I've been gone from that state for almost 40 years now. And what used to be a bunch of cow pastures, some of those cow pastures are now churches. Some of those cow pastures are now idol-worshipping temples. And on a visit that I made to visit my family, we were driving down the road, and I noticed that one of the idols in one plot of land was directly facing an idol on the neighboring parcel of land. And I said, "Look at that, dueling idols." They were very proud to put up their idols. They wanted everybody to see it, and it was supposed to be grandiose and all of that sort of stuff. And I will tell you what a Christian's response to those idols is. It's supposed to be, look, we're supposed to be praising the one true God more than they are celebrating their idolatrous man-made God. Okay. Society will tell us we get to celebrate everything as unbelievers, but you believers in Jesus Christ over there, you've got to keep your praise and your boasts and your celebrations. You've got to keep those restricted to the house of God. And I will tell you, I'm not going to do that. I am going to praise God no matter how long the parade of idols is, no matter how many legions may be gathered in opposition to him. I know that God is victorious. God is holy. God is just. God is true. God is present. God is powerful, and God is worthy to be praised. And I'm going to praise him no matter what society dictates, because he's worthy. So he's in verse number 2, "I worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth." Now I want you to pay attention to that verse. We're going to go on here in just a little bit to help you understand that there is such a thing as absolute truth. And it's Jesus Christ. It's the Word of God. Society has been trying to reject the Word of God while still retaining some of the virtues of the Word of God, but you end up having a house built on a faulty foundation that way. Our nation only exists, if you read the documents of the founding fathers, you will see that the government was only going to be able to survive if it was built on a relationship with God. And what has happened is we have broadened the scope of verbiage from the founding of the country to now be more inclusive and welcoming of things that the founding fathers did not have in mind back in those days. And that biblical foundation gets eroded over the waves of enemy attack and things like that. And I will tell you, if our society ever gets completely shifted off of the Word of God to where we're hearing and doing, the Bible talks about, and great will be the fall of that house. I've been to the Outer Banks of North Carolina. I went up there and spent a few days seeking the Lord several years ago, and remember seeing all of these homes that were built on pilings that were, you know, anchored into the beach and things like that. And with the storms that have stayed off of the coast this year, there's not been much in the way of landfall, but those storms that sat out there and just turned in circles and really didn't go any place for a long time, all of those waves beat against those pilings. And I think it's like 10 houses in North Carolina have literally collapsed right into the ocean, even though they had survived a lot of other storms. The foundation wasn't able to survive a relentless attack of bigger than usual waves. We get to praise the name of God because he is true. His foundation isn't going anyplace. And we also get to praise him for his loving kindness, his mercy that he exhibits to us. David understood mercy. If you really look at David's life, you will find that there was strained relationships with his siblings. They did not look kindly upon him. I think that they thought he was arrogant. I don't know if they thought that he got preferential treatment from his father, but his father didn't even invite him to be considered for his own inauguration anointing under Samuel. And then he proves himself that he's not only gifted as a worshiper, as a man after God's own heart, but he's also gifted as a musician, as a warrior, as a leader. I will tell you, he struggled in his relationships as a father. He wasn't perfect. But when David blew it big time, when he sinned in a way that should have resulted in his death, David knew how to repent, and it was in his repentance that he found God's mercy and his forgiveness. When he blew it by doing something that the scripture forbade him as a king from doing, he found mercy and ended up having a revelation of where the temple was supposed to be built and purchased it. He said, I'm going to pay you for it. I am not going to go through this without having a personal investment in this process. I'm the one that created this mess, and I'm going to be the one that gets the nation out of this mess. Praise God for his mercy. So there's a lot of things to praise God for. First of all, we're supposed to praise him with our whole heart. We're supposed to praise him even in a parade of idols, we're supposed to praise the one true God. We're supposed to praise his name because his name is exalted above every other name. We're supposed to praise him for his mercy, and we're supposed to praise him for his truth. I remember my wife reading these stories more than I remember hearing the stories, but I am familiar with the story itself. That one, there was a story about a king who wanted something that no one else had, and a con man convinced him that he had woven a garment with invisible thread, and it was called "The Emperor Has No Clothes." And, you know, he was so proud of his wardrobe that wasn't there. And society tended to go along with that, because who wants to tell the emperor that he has no clothes? But everybody knew that what he was saying wasn't true. He had been conned, and no one wanted to tell him that he had been conned. Folks, I want to encourage you that God always speaks the truth. My perspective can be wrong. Your perspective can be wrong. Society's perspective can be wrong, but God is never wrong. The devil is a liar and the father of it. It's his native language. He speaks it fluently. But God speaks truth. And so when you and I praise him, we should be able to praise him in truth. In a day when everybody seems to be obsessed with lying and fabricating stories that cannot be substantiated by facts, we need to be a people who stand in truth, because that's where God is. Pilate said, "What is truth?" And truth was standing right in front of him. So I pray today that you will praise God for his truth. Here's the truth. Every person is a sinner that has fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of that sin is death, but Jesus gave us a gift, and that gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ. There is forgiveness available. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The truth is, today we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and if so, we get to live as more than conquerors, not as victims. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Keep your eyes open. said.